For more presentations like this, visit www.xenos.org.
Securing our future. This is a capital campaign that we've just kicked off, and by now you have received a letter kind of explaining what we're doing. And you've gotten a brochure that is really packed full of information about the need for this project. But I kind of wanted to approach this a little differently. We'd been studying Nehemiah in our challenge group, and there's a word that comes there, kind of a theme through that book over and over and over again, and it's the theme of remember or remembering. And as I was thinking about this capital campaign, since I'm the oldest elder here, you have to indulge me my remembrance. And I thought, let's go back and let's start to take a look at what God has really done through these campaigns and through these facilities that we have kind of been just engineered into. And I think when I lay this out, you'll find that this is unbelievably compelling. Of course, this is Calumet School. Bao had to run down there and get a picture of this just the other day. So this is a fairly recent photo. This school came to us in 1985. And we bought it from the city of Columbus, which is kind of interesting because at that time, the city of Columbus schools was actually doing pretty well. They were not having declining enrollment. They had slipped from the top a little bit, but they were actually doing pretty well. We had started that school as renters, and within a very short period of time, the school came up for purchase. And we were able to raise $90,000 almost overnight to buy this property. This was truly a gift from God. And what you're going to see from each one of these is some of the things that God has done through these facilities. 720 graduates have come out of Calumet and Xenos schools. And there's been two adult CT teachings that happened within Calumet schools at that time. I know most of you here are probably not old enough to remember that. But this was our first facility. And God really worked through all of us at that time to get this. This is a great slide. Of course, this is Community Park. This was 1991, and we bought this out of receivership. And it was a bidding process that no one showed up for but us. It's just crazy the way this stuff keeps laying out, property after property after property. And so on 270, we laid the groundwork for what was going to be Xenos of what most of you know today. We started building in 1995, and through 98, we built Xenos offices in the main campus. And then in 99, we built and outfitted Building X. But what you may not know, well, from that came growth in adult ministries and student work. The church was unified. We had a division in the church during this period of time between when it was purchased and when we started building. And after that division, the church did come together, and they were unified in the purpose of evangelism and outreach. And we moved on that decisively. In doing that, then the church came under a common purpose. This also was a staging point for the Xenos Summer Institute. Prior to this time, it was the Crossroads Project, in which it was going out to other facilities and going out to other cities to take the information and to take the apologetical material to them. At this time, it came to this building, the main campus building, and at the growth of the Summer Institute was initiated through here. And also Xenos Schools began, and we doubled the school by putting the school up north as well. What you may not know is that Home Depot, during that same time frame, bought that piece of property from us and swapped some land so we could build Building X. Additionally, Home Depot did over $2 million of road improvements that we didn't have to pay for. Then in 2001, the Atrium expansion at Main Campus, part of this road improvements that we didn't have to pay for, went directly into this. It provided expansion for ministry space. We got some more steps for Main Campus. Steps are good. We added large classrooms in the bookstore and the snack bar and the study center and the lounge areas. Then came the big mother of all projects. This was a picture of 4th Street. There's an old rendering there for the Indianola amusement park. Of course, then the Quonset hut that we refurbished, and now it's 4th Street Cafe and Pavilion Center. But this was actually one part of three projects that were going on simultaneously. We built the Main Campus Cafe during this time, and we supported Sphere Development in doing that. That's when Jim Leffel and Ryan Lowry and Jeff Gordon, all three of them were able to develop and break into Spheres because we had the facilities to be able to do that. Supported the Sphere development, and then the Nepali Church in 2010 kicked off. All because of this development, God was continuing to work through these facilities. 4th Street. You may not know this, but we were at 16th at that time. We were trying to renew the lease and even offering to buy the building that was there. And we kept getting put off and put off and put off as we were trying to do this. And it was very difficult to figure out, why can't we get them to commit? Well, as it turns out, they had already sold the building out from underneath of us. So that was committed to be gone. And during that process, the 4th Street had come available, and we decided, since we can't get a commitment there, we're going to go ahead and move over to 4th Street. Had God not engineered that and moved us in that way, we would have had to have gone who knows where. But that not only came about in a time frame that was right for us, specific for us, it came about in a time frame that allowed us to renovate that site and to be able to move there seamlessly. And you've seen the growth in the college ministry as a result of that. Provided a workforce for high school ministry. There are a ton of college workers and leaders that are now leading our high school groups. And that ministry is exploding as well. Renegade started there in 2008, and then Renegade 2.9 in 2012. Adult Spheres presence in the campus community when Gary took his sphere down with the idea of adorning the gospel there. Medical and optometry clinics, work at Indianola Middle School and a food pantry. A presence, an adult sphere presence in that community was launched. That was a huge project and one that God had orchestrated all along. And of course, then Harambe Community Center. Harambe was part of this project as well. We anchored the education in the church community for breaking the cycle of poverty there in South Linden, and also building leaders for inner city ministry. And that school has done stellar work year in and year out. I like charts and numbers. This is kind of busy, but follow me with this. This is, for each project, this is the cash that was raised, the key costs that were associated with that project, and then the debt that we carried. And so, throughout all of those projects, where we stand is the bottom line to date totals is that we had cash of about $12.1 million. We have key costs, investments into these facilities that are a little over $17 million, and we sit today with $1.6 million in debt. That's the bottom line of where we're at currently. So then came the search. With so many students and so much going on in 4th Street, we were out of space, completely out of space. We've got a video coming up here shortly, which is going to depict this, and I mean, you'll be amazed at the utilization of that facility. So we started looking, and each one of these little dots represents probably hours of Steve Bauer's time, Dennis's time, Conrad's time, Slim's time, people who actually went out to these sites to look at the facilities that were there to try to determine, is there any possibility that we can expand into those? And that's what God delivered up, was right in there at Oakland Park. We were prepared to, and we talked with the church that owns the Lighthouse. It's a Haitian church. Great brothers and sisters in Christ. We were going to try to do a cooperative arrangement with them. That didn't work. From that, we had plans to expand Calumet. And we were going to expand Calumet and grow that facility so that we could pick up another room for a central teaching and some additional classrooms. The biggest problem with that was parking. And some community groups which are not very favorable to development. So anyway, we ended up at Oakland Park. So fast this thing turned. And the property became available. It's a great story if you want to track down Steve Bauer and have him tell you the story of how this came about. It truly was God delivering a building in a time fashion that only he knew that he could do. It was $1.2 million, but it was listed on the tax auditor site for $1.8 million. So $600,000 below its value. Been prior listed as a leased space only, but now it's for sale. And it's for sale less than what it is valued at. So this is absolutely phenomenal that this thing came available. The elders decided we need to move on this. We need to be in contract on this, and we'll figure out the finances later. Not a good plan. Cheryl Kite, who worked with me on this silent phase of the campaign, which we'll talk about in a minute, she said, you're doing two of three taboos. You've already bought the building. That's one. Two, you're going to pay off some debt as a result of this campaign. You should not do either one of those in general campaigns. And I'm like, Cheryl, God has delivered this building, and I know that he's going to bring this to pass. We need the space. He brought it to us. And I think this is really going to carry some weight. So there it is, the warehouse, the new warehouse. You've seen this on the brochure. And this is what we're going for. Oakland Park, the campaign is $4.9 million. And of that $4.9 million, the property was $1.2 million. We're looking at renovations that'll be roughly around $2.7 million. And even though we have $1.6 million in debt, if we get to $4.9 million raised, we will take that extra $1 million along with our cash buffer that we have, and we'll pay our debt off. We will be debt free.
Woo.
That should be a roar. That is unbelievable for churches to have gone through 30 years of development and project development and growth and building and expanding and developing, and to be sitting on that kind of property and development and to be debt-free. I mean, as an older guy thinking about the younger people that are coming into this church and the transition that's going to take place, to be able to hand the reins over of so many buildings and so much facility that God has done so much work through and continues to grow, and not to be shackled with debt, is a phenomenal thing. So this has been our major milestones through our history from 85 to 2015. So it's 30 years. It's a long time. And yet God has systematically gone through this one step at a time, leading us to these facilities one after the other. So we start in most campaigns with a silent phase in which we go out and ask some of the major donors that are in fellowship, would you please lead by stepping forward and making your commitment early so that when we go to the broader church and then to the entire church, there'll already be the more generous donors having made a commitment to say, we're on board and we're on board for this much. It has that way of building real excitement and enthusiasm. So when you hear about this and you see what's going on, you think, not only is it achievable, but it's like God always does. It can go above and beyond. So we started, since we didn't even own the building until maybe a month and a half ago, we started to identify who the major donors were. We started to train people to be able to go make those asks, and we started this campaign in the silent phase on the 7th. So we have been about 2 weeks where we've gone out and we started talking to people about this. There were 110 people identified. We've only talked to 65 of them so far. There was the beach trip where a lot of people were gone and a lot of schedules didn't match up. So we've only talked to 65 people, and a little over 40 of those major donors have weighed in already to say, this is what we'd like to give toward this campaign. This blew my socks off. I had no idea that, well, Ephesians 3:20. God, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that you could ask or even think. This is what God has done. There are still probably at least 50 major donors that will step forward and contribute. They have been good givers in Xenos all along, so they will step forward to contribute. There have been probably 25 to 26 donors who, by getting a brochure, have already initiated and pledged on their own. This is incredible, the amount of enthusiasm and momentum that's gaining for this campaign. We've got a video, hopefully. I haven't seen it. We're ready to roll. Okay.
We looked around, there weren't many students. So it seemed like the Holy Spirit was moving there, because a lot of the elders were coming to the same conclusion. And we decided at that point to invest in student ministry. We thought, this is where we were reached. We don't want to lose a stake in student ministry. And we had just a couple of home churches, high school home churches. And that's where it started, back in the early 90s. The whole church was behind this. You'd think that maybe people would say, well, you're taking away from, you know, the adult ministry, or from us, to go and invest in high school students. There was none of that. There was none of that kind of selfishness. So I think being involved with students has changed the character of this church for the good. It's starting then to feed now into adult ministry with over 100 students each year, people that are committed believers and want to grow with God. So I see this, the long-term effect is powerful.
I got invited out to a Bible study at the Merker's house in 1993. And I show up, you know, at this house, and there's a bunch of high school kids my age. I was a senior in high school. And I go in, and there were two older guys there who were running this high school Bible study. One of them had a long gray ponytail. That was Dennis. And the other one was Jeff Gorton. And I didn't know it at the time, but this was just after the church had made this huge commitment to reinvest itself in student ministries. So I received Christ through the high school ministry when there were two home churches. You know, there were like 50 people in the high school ministry. They challenged me to move into a ministry house down on Indianola and 16th. They were saying this was a good opportunity to grow in my faith, and I was eager to do that. And so I joined the college ministry, which was being run by Buck at that time, and the college ministry had like 60 people. And they were meeting down at the student union in a bar that was rented down there by us. And I got to be a part of really the ground floor of this new dedication of our church to student ministries. And over the 14 years that I was there, the ministry grew from 60 to about 400. I think adult ministries has a new bright future and a new day to be won that I'm a part of, but that so many others are a part of. Well, we've been praying for years, for decades in our church that God would grant another movement like the one that kind of put us on the map back in the late 70s and early 80s. This recent movement is bigger than the one before. It's a little bit slower, which I think is good. We have incorporated a full battery of training, and we're insisting on a more careful review of character and leaders. And I think it bodes well that we can maybe keep it going for who knows how much longer. At every point, Xenos members have responded to the need. And even when it's been painful and really expensive. And God at every point then has used that to fill and to fill multiple times.
For someone who doesn't go to 4th Street very often, it's really hard to explain just how jam-packed our facility is. Throughout the day at the cafe, people are just coming in and out, hanging out, and it gets even more and more intense right before CT because people are hanging out and getting into discipleship times. Our new building is going to be 22,000 square feet. We're going to have a brand new gym that we're going to use for high school group. The auditorium in our facility, it's going to be an 800 person capacity auditorium, which means that we're going to be able to double our entire college ministry. Not to mention, we're going to have a full service cafe where people can actually hang out and do some discipleship time before meetings. And we're going to have a study center light. And so it's going to be a facility that is going to allow us to grow for many years.
And I know all of us who watch this are really zealous that we as a church do whatever we can to not impede the progress of what God's doing here.
It seems crazy. It seems like, you know, it's not going to last forever. This growth in student ministries is going to stop at some point, which surely it won't go on like it is right now. But let's not be the ones to stop it.
There's a dynamic movement of God, and that's something that you want to get behind. That's what I want to get behind in my life. You know, when God moves in my life, the thing, my greatest regrets are the times I said no. And I don't want to do that now. We can't do that as a church.
We can thank Hillary, Conrad's wife, for that video, man. She slaved over that. I'm going to turn things over to Jode here for a little bit.
Cool. So surprising that we'd break a couple rules in the middle of things. But thank God that we do break some rules in a lot of ways, because there are so many churches across our country where student ministries is kind of relegated to the back room someplace, and you know, getting people to invest heavily to make student ministries be front and center and a powerful movement just would never happen. And I thank God that our church has responded repeatedly over the years, both with manpower sent to student ministries and money poured into it, so that we've got a movement that's an awesome movement of God right now. I'm so thankful for that. And I feel like we just have to continue to pour forces. Anytime you can get a break in the enemy lines, you have to pour every resource into that. And I feel like that's what we've got with student ministries right now. Praise God. We need to keep praying for these guys. They're in a very precarious position just because where they are. And yet we need to really get behind and keep pushing. And so, you know, I really am thankful for how God's moved. It's almost miraculous what our church has done in the giving area compared to where we had been over the years. You can see God's hand at work in the land that we've gotten, but also in the generosity that he's moved us to is remarkable. And that's kind of where my few minutes is here tonight, is to make the appeal to all of us in this room to get on board with this, and not only that, to get our people on board with this project. And I feel like it's you know, maybe one of the most important things that we'll do this weekend is to commit ourselves to this work. And you know, I was thinking back about this, I was thinking about my own life and my own attitudes. And I kind of went back to the early years when April 19th, Jeff tells me, was the date in 1982 when Jeff accepted Christ and started to walk with God. And Jeff and I were roommates. He was in medical school, I was in dental school. And we would have these evening breaks. We were pretty busy at studying in our professions, but you know, it seemed like every evening there was time to just sit and read our Bibles. So we'd go to our individual rooms, and just, you know, every so often, really fairly regularly, one of us would come out of the room with like, man, check this out. And we'd be finding things on a regular basis that were life-changing truths that were just amazing. I remember finding Ephesians chapter 4 for the first time, and just that whole thing about the unity and then the body of Christ and the way that all worked. And that just was, it was revolutionary to me. And I remember that evening, and I can't remember which one of us found it. I wish that I could remember, because I would take credit if I could. But the other one I really remember that stands out to me is finding Matthew chapter 6. And that whole idea that you can't serve God and money. As Clint Eastwood says, God and mammon being money. And we were both at that crossroads in our lives, and we realized that we're at a crossroads where if we want to serve money, We could do that. And yet you can't do both. And then that passage goes on and it talks about the anxiety that's there in our lives and how we shouldn't be anxious for anything. And it kind of goes with that serving money, doesn't it? The more we worship and serve, the less real peace and security there is in our lives. And it comes down to this passage at the end, this verse that says that we should seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these other things will be added to you. And I remember we looked at that, and we came to the conclusion that that was absolutely true. We believe that. That if we would put God's kingdom first, if we would make that the one goal of our lives, that everything else would fit in with that. Our careers, our marriages, our families, our friendships, everything would make sense if we just did that. And Jeff and I think both on that night, made that commitment that this is the way we want to go. And I don't think either one of us have ever really varied that much from that. I know we've had our issues from time to time, but in general, that's what's animated our lives. But there's another verse tucked in there before either one of those. And I just wanted to share that with you because I think that really comes into play in this time that we have right here. And you guys all know it. Says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And this is a passage that I really learned later on, but I think is no less important than the idea of setting God's kingdom and his righteousness first in my life, because where I put my treasure, that is where my heart will be. This is a truth that we cannot violate. If you pile your treasure into the things of the world, if you pile the things that you value most into the things of this world, your heart will follow that. There's no violating that. You invest your life into things and your heart will go with it. And I feel like it's in this area of giving, and in particular pledge campaigns, where it really helped me grow. And I feel like it has made all the difference in my life, because I was giving about like this. And I thought I was doing a pretty amazing job of giving. I was pretty proud of my giving. And then somebody came to me and said, okay, for this pledge campaign, would you be willing to give this much? I thought, wow, that's a lot. But as I thought about it, I thought, you know, that's really what I've been saying I want to do. That's what I've been saying I want to do. I want to put my treasure there into the things of God, and I know my heart will follow that. And, you know, I just want to make that appeal to everybody here. For one, I think most of us are into this already. But I really want to encourage us to be super generous as we approach this and think about, you know, what is our ability? How much can we do? But I think I also really want to encourage us to challenge the people in our groups to give in a generous way. I think this is an important issue in people's lives. I really believe that as we call people into this area, God will bless them in an amazing way. And it's the kind of thing that makes your heart there for God. So kind of the goal that we had hoped that we could lay out there and challenge the servant team with was that we right now are at $1.589 million, which is pretty amazing considering well less than 100 gifts so far. And our thought is that by the end of this weekend, we'd really like to see about $3.9 million. So that's only 2.311. So, and I believe we can do it. I know I haven't made all of my asks yet for the silent campaign. I got a couple envelopes with me, so I might see a couple people this weekend. But anyway, I think that's something we should really pray for, and I think it'll make a big difference for us.
Thanks, Joe.
Just a couple of quick little cleanup items here. This is a site plan, if you haven't seen this in the brochure. It's 3-acre property. The building that we're going to be meeting in is in the upper left, and it's 16,000 square feet. And then there, the other building kind of down in the lower right, that's the grayish building with the green rectangle in it. That's actually a big warehouse that we're going to keep, and we're not going to develop it at this time. It's going to be a big parking garage. So we're going to have indoor parking for a while until the need of that facility comes online. And there's going to be some basketball courts and storage and stuff like that in there. So it will be utilized. We have over 300 parking spots at this site, which is phenomenal. If you've ever tried to go over a 4th Street and trying to find a place to park, it's insane. So this is really a great site plan. This is the warehouse first floor. This is the building that was in the upper right-hand corner. There'll be outdoor seating and tables. There'll be indoor seating and tables in a cafe and a study center, very similar to 4th, is going to be there as well. And as Conrad said, we're looking at about somewhere between 700 to 800 that can go into assembly in this. We're also picking up some very needed classrooms. 5 classrooms are going to be in addition to this, and it's really going to help get the classes for leadership training trimmed down so that they can be an interactive group. So those are the floor plans that are there. This is how you guys can get involved. When you checked in, you should have gotten a blue pledge card. If you didn't, they're all back in the tables back there and kind of over in that section. You can fill out one of these pledge cards and you can drop it in the box. The boxes will be back there all weekend. Oh, they're up there on the table back there. You can also go online. And you can go online and do your pledge right there. There'll be a QR code coming up here in a little bit. And you'll be able to just take a picture of it and jump on and go. So they tell me. It's this new technology. Pledge cards work great. You can fill your pledge card out. It's real comfortable. If you have questions about the building project, the best thing to do, I think, at this point, since you're going to be breaking up into different groups and stuff, look up your sphere leader. He'll be able to answer questions that you have. If you have questions specific to the pledging, try to find Alan Burkholder, and he'll be able to help you through that. Oh, yeah. There's our new technology. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So the pledging that you do, donations would be, of course, you know, immediate donations, and the pledging would be over 3 years. So think in terms as you make your gift that you're going to be spreading it out over 3 years, which Gordy mentions is actually 4 calendar years. Okay? Awesome. We've gotten long, I'm sure. There was a lot of information we wanted to get to you guys, but I hope that from the teachings and from this unbelievable campaign that we have going on right now, that this gives you quite a bit to be fired up for, to be up all night, and to be praying, to be thinking, to be enjoying fellowship. And that's what this weekend is all about. So, thanks. Jode and I are just going to pray for us, and then we'll be able to head out. I do have tonight. Is 16th floor Radisson is the main hangout, BYOB. Got it? The sound is still good in the bathroom.
We decided not to do a Q&A on this project. If you have questions, probably best source is to send an email to your sphere leader, because they probably have best information on that. So,
cool. You want to pray for us, Doug?
Yep.
Well, Lord, it is really great to be your servant, to be entrusted with the treasure of your word, Lord. And thank you for these teachings tonight, Lord, that challenge us to be, to take on the servant attitude, Lord, in our marriages, in our relationships with the people around us in the world, in our relationships with each other as well. And we thank you for the fact that you empower us and you bless us as we do that. The more we serve, the more you serve us, God. We just really find that to be true, that we can't outgive you. So we really appreciate that. We do commit this pledge campaign to you as well. We ask that you would be teaching people to be great givers in the financial area as well. And we pray that we'd be able to see this building go up and people would be able to be joyful and grateful for the role they've had in it, Lord. We do pray for our evening together. We pray that you'd supervise the way things go here this evening. We pray that you'd put people in our paths that would be those kind of conversations that you really have planned out for us, God. And just thank you for the chance to be here with these great servants and followers of yours, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
This is a servant team recording. Please do not redistribute.